भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड आइडियल फैमिली लाइफ। वी गोइंग टू रीड टेक्स्ट 19 थ्रू 23। कुर्याद अपर पक्षीयाम इज दैट व्हाट Okay. So I will read text 19 and then we'll chant the sloka together. So this is translation for text 19. A Brahmana who's sufficiently rich must offer oblations to the forefathers during the dark moon fortnight in the latter part of the month of Bhadra. Similarly, he should offer oblations to the relatives of the forefathers during the Mahalaya ceremonies in the month of Asvina. So, we're going to read from text 20 to 23 because this one didn't have purport. So it starts with Ayane. Ayane visuve kuryad vyati pate dinakshaye chandraditayo paragecha dvadasyam sravanesucha Ayane visuve kuryad vyati pate dinakshaye chandraditayo paragecha dvadasyam sravanesucha Ayane visuve kuryad vyati pate dinakshaye chandraditayo paragecha dvadasyam sravanesucha Mataji's, please. So there's three more slokas. 21, 22, 23. So I'll just chant that myself and then we'll read word for word in translation purport. Tritiyayam suklapakshe navamyam atakartike chaturasvapi ashtakasu hemante sisire tata magecha sita saptamyam magara kasamagame rakaya chanu matyacha masarkshani yutani api dvadasyam anuradasyach sravanastiras tisra uttara trisru ekadasi vasu janmarka srona yoga yuk. Word for word, please repeat. Ayane, on the day when the sun begins to move north, or Makara Sankaranti, and on the day when the sun begins to move south, or Karkata Sankaranti, Visuve, on the Mesa Sankaranti, and on the Tula Sankaranti, Kuryat, one should perform, Vyatipate, in the yoga named Vyatipata, Dinakshaye, on the day in which three titis are combined, Chandra Aditya Uparage, at the time of the eclipse of either the moon or the sun, Cha, and also Dvadasyam Sravanesu, on the 12th lunar day, and in the nakshatra named Sravana, Cha, and Tritiyayam, on the Akshaya Tritiya day, Sukla Pakshe, in the bright fortnight of the month, Navamyam, on the 9th lunar day, Atha, also Kartike, in the month of Kartik, October, November, Chattasru, on the 4, Api, also Ashtakasu, on the Ashtakas, Hemante, before the winter season, Sisire, in the winter season, Tata, and also Maghe, in the month of Magha, January, February, Cha, and Sita Sapatmyam, Sita Saptamyam, on the 7th lunar day of the bright fortnight, Magha Raka Samagame, in the conjunction of Magha Nakshatra and the full moon day, Rakaya, with a day of completely full moon, Cha, and Anumatya, with a full moon day when the moon is slightly less than completely full, Cha, and Masa Rikshani, the nakshatras that are the sources of the names of the various months. Yutani are conjoined. Api also. Dvadasyam on the 12th lunar day. Anuradha, the nakshatra named Anuradha. Syat may occur. Sravana, the nakshatra named Sravana. Tisra, the three nakshatras. Uttara, the nakshatras named Uttara. Uttara Palguni, Uttara Sada, and Uttara Bhadrapada. Trisrusu on three. Ekadasi, the 11th lunar day. Va or Asu on these. Janma Riksha of one's own Janma Nakshatra or bird star. Srona of Sravana Nakshatra. Yoga by a conjunction. Yuk, having. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: one should perform the Shraddha ceremony on the Makara Sankranti, the day when the sun begins to move north, or on the Karkata Sankranti, the day when the sun begins to move south. One should also perform this ceremony on the Mesa Sankranti day and the Tula Sankranti day. In the yoga named Vyatipata, on that day in which three lunar tithis are conjoined during an eclipse of either the moon or the sun on the 12th lunar day, and in the Sravana Nakshatra, one should perform this ceremony on the Akshaya Tritiya day, on the 9th lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik, on the 4 Ashtakas in winter season and cool season, on the 7th lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Magha, during the conjunction of Maha Nakshatra and the full moon day, and on the days when moon is completely full or not quite completely full, when these days are conjoined with the nakshatras from which the names of certain months are derived. One should also perform the Shraddha ceremony on the 12th lunar day when it is in conjunction with any of the nakshatras named Anuradha, Sravana, Uttara Palguni, Uttara Sada, or Uttara Bhadrapada. Again, one should perform this ceremony when the 11th lunar day is in conjunction with either Uttara Palguni, Uttara Sada, or Uttara Bhadrapada. Finally, one should perform this ceremony on days conjoined with one's own birth star, Janma Nakshatra, or with Sravana Nakshatra. Purport: the word Ayana means path or going. The 6 months when the sun moves towards the north are called Uttarayana, or northern path. And the 6 months when it moves south are called Dakshinayana, or southern path. These are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 8:24-25. The first day when the sun begins to move north and enter the zodiacal sign of Capricorn is called Makara Sankranti. And the first day when the sun begins to move south and enter the sign of Cancer is called Karkata Sankranti. On these 2 days of the year, one should perform the Shraddha ceremony. Visuva or Visuva Sankranti means Mesa Sankranti, on the day on which the sun enters the sign Aries. Tula Sankranti is the day on which the sun enters the sign Libra. Both of these days occur only once within a year. The word yoga refers to a certain relationship between the sun and the moon as they move in the sky. There are 27 different degrees of yoga, of which the 17th is called Vyatipata. On the day when this occurs, one should perform the Shraddha ceremony. A Tithi or lunar day consists of the distance between longitude of the sun and that of the moon. Sometimes a Tithi is less than 24 hours. When it starts after sunrise on a certain day and ends before the sunrise of the following day, the previous Tithi and the following Tithi both touch the 24-hour day between the sunrises. This is called Trayaha Sparsha, or a day touched by some portion of three Tithis. Srila Jiva Goswami has given quotations from many Shastras stating that the Shraddha ceremony of oblations to the forefathers should not be performed on Ekadasi Tithi. When the Tithi of the death anniversary falls on the Ekadasi day, the Shraddha ceremony should be held not on Ekadasi but on the next day or Dwadasi. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it is said, Ye Kurvanti Mahipala Sraddham Chaikadasi Dine Trayaste Narakam Yanti Data Bhokta Cha Preraka. If one performs the Shraddha ceremony of oblations to the forefathers on the Ekadasi Tithi, then the performer, the forefathers for whom the Shraddha is observed, and the Purohita or the family priest who encourages the ceremony all go to hell. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Jnanatim Rundasya Gananjana Sulakaya Chakshur Milita Mena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. So, all these different days, Bhagavatam is mentioning here, these are very conducive for offering oblations to the departed forefathers. Actually, by reading this translation purport, it's actually very humbling, you know, how fallen we are, and you know, we have no idea about many things. Prabhupada is kindly explaining to us. So I was praying to be able to say something on this verse. So the understanding that I got was that if you're living a life, even a pious life, and if you're following the path of karma kanda, you're living a life of like fruitive actions, then inevitably in our lives we make mistakes. We all commit sinful activities. Even if you're a pious person, what to speak of somebody in this modern day, you know. Every step, there's like the regulative principles are broken. But even if you're living a pious life, you're sure to commit mistakes. And the reactions could be severe. Like the Bhagavatam gives the example of King Nirga. It's explained that King Nirga was so charitable that he's on the top of the list of the most charitable kings, like Sibi and, you know, Dasarath and Nirga. These are like exalted personalities. And he was giving so much charity that, and he was living such a pious life, we can't even imagine. But what happened was, he made a small mistake. He gave a group of cows to one Brahmana. This was his daily routine, you know, he would perform all these Vedic rituals and give charity. And then he was giving another group of cows, I think it was 10,000 cows, to another Brahmana. But what happened was, one cow from the previous group came to the group of the other Brahmana, and both of them became attached to this cow. And the first person is saying, "This is my cow, I want it back." And the other person is saying, no, it's with me now, so it's mine." So King Nirga had to deal with the situation. And Nirga didn't think anything big of this. What's the big deal? You know, just give the cow back, I'll give you another 10,000 cows. But the Brahmana was very offended and upset. And he got a curse. When King Nirga passed away, Yamaraj actually looked at his chart and said, "You know what? You have done so many pious activities and you've given so much in charity that, you know, I can't even see the end of your enjoyment. You're going to enjoy so much. But you also have a curse, which means you have to suffer. So which one would you like to take first? Do you want to enjoy first or do you want to suffer first?" It's just like sometimes we all want to eat the preparation that we don't like first so we can enjoy the ones we like, you know, peacefully. Nirga said, "Let me just suffer first and then, you know, I can just enjoy unlimitedly." And then he was actually cursed to become a lizard. Can you imagine? Just one small mistake. The laws of nature are so severe. And of course, he was so blessed that, you know, Krishna delivered him personally. And the pastimes of Ajamil, the Yamadutas actually say that no matter who you are, sooner or later you're going to have a meeting with us. So in other words, even if you think you're so pious or this or that, the material nature is so stringent that everybody will make mistakes and they will get to see the Yamadutas. We're not talking about devotees, by the way. So, the point of offering this Shraddha ceremony, the oblations to the forefathers, is that knowingly or unknowingly, the forefathers have committed, mistakes, and they're suffering various sinful reactions. Some of them are stuck in the Pitri Loka, the planet for the, you know, forefathers, and some of them are in hell. That's why it's called Putra. Put is a name for one of the hellish planets, and Putra means one who delivers. So son is actually called a Putra, means you're supposed to deliver your parents from the hellish planets. So some of them are in the Pitri Loka, some are in the hellish planet, some of them are in ghostly body, you know, they don't have a body, they're like wandering around as a ghost. So souls are suffering in different ways. So what happens is when we perform the Shraddha ceremony, which is actually, we offer bhoga to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, and we take that prasadam and we offer it to these departed forefathers, and that actually relieves them from any, you know, favorable or unfavorable situation they're in, and then puts them back in the path of devotional service. But the point is, you're trying to please Vishnu through this process of Shraddha. And all these days that are mentioned here, a big list, these are actually very favorable days to perform this ceremony. And also, it is the cultural norm, like in the West, nobody even knows the forefathers. Even in this lifetime, we have like 2-3 fathers, 2-3 mothers. What to speak of grandparents, great-grandparents. We have like no idea how to do this. But in Vedic culture, like we're reading this title of this chapter, it's called Ideal Family Life. In an ideal culture, this is also the cultural norm to perform this. Like we read in the Chaitanya Leela how Advaita Acharya performed this. Also, just to, you know, not disturb the minds of the people of the society, Advaita Acharya did it. It's just like Haridas Thakur, he wouldn't enter the temple of Jagannath temple just not to cause any disturbance. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas from a Mayavadi sampradaya just to, you know, be part of the society. At the same time, to present Krishna consciousness. Like for example, when Advaita Acharya performed this Shraddha ceremony to his forefathers, he actually gave the offering. You're supposed to feed an exalted personality after you perform the ceremony. That way the ceremony is complete. So Advaita Acharya, he actually fed Haridas Thakur. I mean, you have the Vedic culture. You have, in Vedic culture, you have like lower levels, like Sudras and like this. But some of them are not even part of the Vedic culture. Like, for example, if you're a Muslim, you're not even part of the Vedic culture. You're like outcast, like untouchable. But just to show us an example, Advaita Acharya, he actually fed this offering to Haridas Thakur. Especially 500 years ago in India, this was like, you know, unheard of. I mean, the time was so strict that, you know, even if a Muslim takes some water from his lota cup or sprinkles on you, you become a Muslim. It's like we know this pastime of Subhudi Roy. Subhudi Roy was a, you know, a landowner. He was like a king. And he had this servant, this young Muslim boy. And this Muslim boy was not behaving nicely, so Subhudi Roy, to correct him, took a cane and beat him on the back. And later on, many years later, this Muslim kid actually became the king, became the Nawab, Nawab Hussein Shah. And the Nawab Hussein Shah's wife saw one day that he had this mark on his back. And she asked him, like, you know, what is this? And Nawab Hussain Shah said, you know, when I was growing up, I was under this personality, Subhudi Roy, and he corrected me. And this lady, you know, overreacted and, you know, made a big drama. Like, what? How dare he left a mark, you know, lifetime mark on your back? For this offense, you should kill him. And Nawab Hussain Shah was like, what? This is, you know, this, he was like my father and he was correcting me. And she was not happy with this mood of Nawab Hussain Shah. So she said, at least you have to do something to him, at least make him a Muslim. And Nawab Hussain Shah said, yeah, I can do that. That's, I mean, it's bad, but it's not as bad as I have to kill him. So he called Subhudi Roy and took some water from his cup and sprinkled on him, and that's it. You know, he was ostracized. He was considered a Muslim. Nobody would allow him to come to any, you know, ceremonies or festivals, and he was suffering like anything, and he was so confused. And he approached different personalities, different Brahmins, and one said, oh, there's actually no way out of this. just wait till you die and hopefully you'll take birth again in a Hindu family. Just be patient. Another one was a little bit more merciful. He said, oh, you can drink like hot smoking ghee and that will relieve you of all your contamination. And he was getting all kinds of advices. He was so confused. And then when he met Lord Chaitanya immediately said, oh, no problem. Go to Vrindavan. And Bengalis, they love rice, and it's very hard to find rice in Vrindavan because they only serve chapatis in Vrindavan. So you go to Vrindavan and you cook rice for all my devotees that come there, and they love oil massage. So you do oil massage for them and you chant Hare Krishna, you're okay. And Subhuti Roy thought, oh my God, what a relief. Having to drink, you know, smoking ghee and just chant Hare Krishna and do oil massage. What a difference, you know. It was like so relieved. I wish we could make devotees like this. You take some water from a Vaishnava cup and go around, you know, Hollywood or Santa Monica and you make devotees. So the time was so strict. But still, Advaita Acharya, just to set an example all time to come, he actually fed Haridas Thakur, because you're supposed to feed a Vaishnava. In the future verses, Prabhupada actually explains how there are various things that you can do along with this ritual that will make it so complete and perfect. Like you have to perform this Shraddha ceremony in a holy place where the deities are there. You should bathe in holy rivers, and you should give charity to the brahmanas. So many things. But in Kali Yuga, we are so fallen. We have like no time or no interest or no knowledge, or very rare to even find a real brahmana. I mean, we are fortunate. We have Rabindranath Prabhu, whoever, you know, he performs, I'm sure that soul is immediately liberated. But generally speaking, even growing up in India, like I remember when my father passed away, I was like 13 or 12 years old. And all kinds of things were going on. Like they immediately called somebody and they put a Brahmin thread on me, because you have to be a Brahmana to perform this ceremony. I didn't know the guy. He didn't even look like a Brahmana. Many of them just dress up for the day, you know, to get some quick dakshina, you know. This guy didn't look like a Brahman, you know, he didn't even chant the mantras properly. Anyways, I got a quick thread. And I'm a, you know, kid, and I'm supposed to fast and chant all these mantras, and everybody's talking nonsense. And, you know, it's like you can completely see nobody knew what's going on there. Ultimately, the goal was to please Vishnu, and nobody knew that. There was so much going on, everything except Vishnu. Basically, I'm just like starving and cold, because you don't wear, you know, you're bathing three times and your head is shaved and you have this thread and you have no interest or desire. It was just like, tapasya was like suffering, you know. But Prabhupada's mercy, he's given the highest to the lowest. Prabhupada's mercy that is given us a process that even unknowingly that we are doing the best things for our parents. Even we want it or not, our parents are getting a percentage of all the devotional practices we are doing. And this is the process in Kali Yuga, devotional service. Like for example, in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Dhyana Yoga chapter, Krishna gives so many instructions how a yogi should be a celibate. You know, he shouldn't eat more, he shouldn't eat less, he shouldn't sleep more, sleep less. He should be like sitting with his back erect and his eyes should be in a certain way and should sit on a kusa grass and should be in a forest and so many things. And immediately on every purport, I was just quickly reading the last section of each purport. And sure enough, Prabhupada is saying, oh, this is not practical, this is not possible, just chant Hare Krishna. This is not practical, this is not possible, please Vishnu. This is not practical. Every purport, Prabhupada was just saying, chant Hare Krishna and become a devotee, then this is the perfection of yoga. No wonder the scholars don't like it. They say, why is Bhaktivedanta Swami bringing Hare Krishna and chanting and becoming a devotee when Krishna is talking about yoga? But Prabhupada is shedding light, you know, is giving this Bhaktivedanta purports to enlighten us. Similarly, in this translation purport, if you were to just read the translation, imagine if you want to study the Bhagavatam and you don't have Prabhupada's purports and you pick up and this, you read this section of the, you know, Bhagavatam, we're just going to be confused. We can't even pronounce it. We can't even read it. It's so long and boring. But with Prabhupada's mercy, like we will see, that in the future verses, Prabhupada will explain how, you know, as a devotee, we are doing the topmost thing. And the topmost thing is to chant Hare Krishna and to become a devotee, to become a Vaishnava like this. And this is the essence. In Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, chant Hare Krishna, Kirtanya Sadahari, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtanya Sadahari. This is the formula for success. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, always chant Hare Krishna, but we cannot do it as long as we are not humble. The problem in Kali Yuga, everybody is so proud. Even if you don't have anything, we hardly have anything, intelligence, health, money, you know, lifespan, still we are so puffed up. Like this saying in India, there were some farmers, they were drying their grains and herbs and flowers in the sun to preserve for years. And there was a rat. And the rat didn't have much to do, so he started drying his tail in the sun. He said, let me also do something. So we Kali Yuga refugees, we like so proud, even though we don't have anything. We always looking down on others, making fun of others and criticizing others. But with this mood, if you chant Hare Krishna, it will take many, many lifetimes to make progress. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Trinadapi Sunichena, chant in a humble state of mind. I was listening to this Prabhupada memories. We have Sutta Kirti Prabhu here. He should be speaking, but I'm sorry that I'm speaking. But let me tell some Prabhupada memories to make up for the... So Prabhupada memories, Prabhupada wanted his disciples to be very humble. As soon as he sensed, Prabhupada sensed that any of his disciples not humble, he will immediately put them in place. There is this devotee remembering how Prabhupada was speaking, and there was this devotee, he put his Bhagavatam on the floor. So immediately Prabhupada corrected him, like, don't put the Bhagavatam on the floor, it's, you know, non-different from Krishna. So this devotee thought, okay, you know, this is an instruction, but I want to make an offering to Prabhupada, so I will make a nice Bhagavatam cover for Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. So this devotee got together all kinds of fancy cloth and he designed this really, really beautiful Bhagavatam cover. But in his mind, he's thinking, oh, when I offer this, it's going to be so nice. Prabhupada is going to recognize me in front of all the devotees. That will feel special. And he got some mangoes along with his thing. And then he went to Prabhupada and he offered the Bhagavatam cover. Prabhupada immediately said, I don't put my Bhagavatam on the floor. I don't need this cover. You put your Bhagavatam on the floor. So you learn. Don't give me the Bhagavatam cover like this. And this devotee felt so humbled and insignificant and felt so, like, you know, lowly. And when he developed that mood of lonely, like feeling very humble, immediately Prabhupada said, oh, you have anything else? And this devotee had mangoes. And the devotee offered mangoes. Prabhupada said, oh, mangoes, very nice, king of the fruits. So this devotee was saying how the guru can see that, you know, you're serving, but you want recognition and you're proud, then immediately that Prabhupada was not satisfied. Another time in India, there was this, Prabhupada was on a morning walk with this Indian gentleman. And this person was chanting so many verses from the Bhagavad Gita and Vedas. And Prabhupada, to encourage him, you know, said, "Oh, very nice, you know so many slokas like this." And Hridayananda Maharaj remembers how he said, "Oh, you know, I also know so many slokas." And Prabhupada recognized him. Maybe, you know, I could also, you know, get recognition from Prabhupada. So he started quoting many Bhagavad Gita verses, and Prabhupada immediately said, "Ah, there's so many verses, you know, there's so many slokas." It's just, you know, immediately like humbled him. One more thing was another morning walk. There's actually so many memories. There was this devotee in Hawaii, and he knew when Prabhupada goes in the morning walk, he would ask, "What is this? What is that?" And so he was ahead of Prabhupada and tried to learn everything that's on the path. And exactly Prabhupada asked him something that he didn't know. And he felt so humbled. Another devotee, Prabhupada was walking, and then Prabhupada pointed to a, you know, a plant and said, "Is this in the tree?" Prabhupada asked, "Is this a flower or a fruit?" And devotee said, there was actually a devotee that knew botany. And the devotee said, "Oh, this is a flower, Prabhupada." And a little bit later, Prabhupada walked and pointed his cane, pointed to another tree and said, "Is this a flower or a fruit?" And Prabhupada, and the devotee said, "Oh, this is a fruit, Prabhupada." A little later, Prabhupada walked again and he pointed to another plant and said, "Is this a flower or a fruit?" And this devotee said, "Oh, Prabhupada, this is not a flower or a fruit. This is useless. It's just a weed." And Prabhupada took his cane, pointed to him, said, "There is nothing useless in Krishna's creation. It's just that you don't know what's the use for it. Therefore, you are useless." And so much for trying to impress Prabhupada, but immediately he got humbled. And there was this instance where Prabhupada was teaching tolerance, like we're discussing, you have to be humble and tolerant. Prabhupada was in an airplane, and they were in the non-smoking section. In those days, you know, they had these different sections. And even though they were a non-smoking section, and there were some rugby players in the non-smoking section, they were smoking cigarettes. And Prabhupada's servant, "I hope it's not you, it's not you," pushed a Krishna Prabhu. He spoke to the stewardess and said, "You know, we are in the non-smoking section and they're smoking, can you stop them?" So they stopped, the lady stopped them. And a little later, again they were smoking. And again pushed a Krishna Prabhu, trying to get their attention. Prabhupada stopped him and said, "If you don't know how to tolerate, then what's the difference between you and a non-devotee? We have to tolerate. A Vaishnava means he tolerates all kinds of circumstances and goes on chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra." So the point is, there is nothing Krishna can do. There is nothing the holy name can do. Krishna can deliver us. Krishna can deliver our forefathers. No problem. Provided we are sincere. Krishna can free us from all our conditionings and anarthas and so on. But Krishna will not interfere with our independence. But if we desire, if we pray to Krishna that we are fallen and we want to attain love for Krishna, He will give it to us. But we have to beg and be patient. One last thing comes to mind is how in the Chaitanya Bhagavad it says, Jagai and Madai, they were so sinful. They were born in Brahmin family, but they were so sinful and atheistic that they will read the Manu Samhita, like the list, go through the list to make sure they've broken every one of the principles that's mentioned there. In other words, they made sure they committed every sin that the Manu Samhita said you should not commit. And they would go through the Manu Samhita and then go out and perform that sin. And even such personalities were actually delivered by Nityananda Prabhu. So the point is, in Kali Yuga, the process of delivering ourselves and delivering the forefathers is to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Any comments or questions? Vijay Prabhu.
Just continuing with that pastime with Prabhupada and Hridayananda Maharaj, on the same walk, he thought, oh, I displeased Prabhupada. I wanted to chant these verses, and Prabhupada, so many verses. But then just a few months earlier, he was in New York with Prabhupada, and he was chanting on the Japa walk. And Prabhupada expressed he was very pleased with his chanting, his Japa. So he thought, I'll chant loudly again. Prabhupada was pleased before, so I'll please him again in this way. So he started chanting Japa loudly. And Prabhupada took his cane and he swung it at his stomach, and it just hit. Not didn't hit him, but it just stopped about maybe a half inch before Hridayananda Maharaj's stomach. Just whoosh, and it was just like knocked the wind completely out of him. He was shocked. You can imagine. So then his mind was just reeling. Oh my God, I've displeased Prabhupada again. My life is just finished. I just can't believe it. He was just like so disturbed. You just can't imagine. So then the next morning, Prabhupada's giving Bhagavatam class here. And he's speaking about the guru and the disciple. And he looked at Hridayananda Maharaj and he pointed out, don't try to enjoy your spiritual master. Serve your spiritual master. He was trying to get some recognition, in other words. So then Hridayananda Maharaj said, oh, this was my problem. So right after Bhagavatam class, they got some brahmacharis, got a van, and they went out traveling book distribution. So that continued the whole story there.
So the Kirti, maybe can you say something? Maybe one comment or memory?
The thing was that Prabhupada was, when he came to America, he would go from one temple to the next. And these devotees were actually following him everywhere he went, rather than staying in their place and doing their service. So that's why Prabhupada said that. One should not try to enjoy one's spiritual master. One should try to serve one's spiritual master. Because many devotees were trying to do that, enjoy Prabhupada's presence by following him from temple to temple. And Prabhupada didn't want that. He wanted them to stay in their locations and do their service.
Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.